Back together again, you and I, on Thursday, May 11th of 2023 on Connecticut Today. We talked about the state moving a bit closer to eventual no-excuse absentee ballot use. We also chatted with our buddy Lenny Grimaldi about his site, onlyinbridgeport.com. So as the great Mr. Dylan used to sing and sings every so often, the times, they are a-changing. And you folks out there, especially on the conservative side of the aisle, the Republican side of the aisle, you better change along with them. You had better understand that at this point, there's no going back. There is, I'm telling you, there's no going back. You're going to cry and bitch and moan, and everybody will about this. And I understand you can be a little sour, dour. You can be maybe to a fault. A lot of us, you know, can be cynical about something or some things, but change happens. What am I talking about specifically here? Hi, by the way. Connecticut Today at 208. Paul Pacelli here. This headline that cleared while we were wrapping things up yesterday on the show from the Connecticut News Junkie. You ready for this? The State House takes the first step in easing absentee ballot voting. In Connecticut, essentially, there's a change a-coming. I see that change a-coming, coming down the track. I am wearing all black today. The House approving easing limits on the use of absentee ballots yesterday in the state. A change, says here, that would essentially allow all Connecticut residents to vote by mail. It's coming, folks. The resolution would eliminate limits or restrictions in the state constitution as to who qualifies for an absentee ballot. So I know there are going to be a lot of you who don't like this. Look, you can still vote at your polling places. We're not going to all mail, M-A-I-L, not M-A-L-E. We're not going to all mail-in voting, I think, as some states are doing, or not sure. No, I know a lot of states do mail-in voting now. I'm not sure whether that's the only thing. I think it's done in Hawaii and Utah and some other states, Oregon maybe, I'm not sure. But having said that, the resolution would largely get rid of the limits in the state constitution around who gets an absentee ballot. I mean, for years and years, and the way our constitution is written, Connecticut was pretty tight, pretty narrow as to who could get an absentee ballot. I may not remember all of these off the top of my head, but it was generally six or seven different instances, whether you have a medical condition, whether you are permanently infirmed somewhere, whether you're going to be out of town, whether you are a poll worker. There's a couple of others in there, but basically, As progressive and as liberal as Connecticut is on a lot of this stuff, we still, as far as our voting is concerned, we're kind of a dying breed here. I mean, understand that we're finally going to get early voting. We were only one of four states, us, Alabama, New Hampshire, and one other state that escapes me at the moment. We're only one of four states that doesn't do early voting, and now we're going to essentially have unlimited mail-in voting. Now, it won't be mail-in voting per se, but it's going to get rid of, apparently, if everything goes the way this probably will go, if the dominoes fall all the way they're supposed to fall, you're likely going to have a decision by Connecticut voters coming up in 2024. So it's not here yet. But essentially, it's going to bring to us what is called no-excuse absentee ballots. The resolution says here, once again, would eliminate the limits in the state constitution around who gets an absentee. Basically, it's going to mean that any registered voter can apply and get one. So it doesn't just mean anymore. Now, this isn't in effect yet. It's got another couple of hurdles to clear, but it certainly looks like it's going to happen. So that means, essentially, that you don't have to say, you know, well, I'm going to be out of state on election day, or I'm currently enlisted in a U.S. military branch, so I'll be on duty then, or I'll be at my base, or who knows, I could be sick, or I'm going to be working at another poll. No, you don't. These are going away, these limits. The vote yesterday in the state house, 113 to 38. So all 151, am I doing the math right? 38, 40, 51. Yeah, look at that. I can add 13 and 38 in my head. Whew. Still good. Still got it. The kid has still got it. 13 and 38 is 51. The vote of 113 to 38 sends the bill to the Senate. If approved, the proposal would go to voters statewide. So that means if the Senate votes the way the House votes, because not a lot of people are confused about this, so it got over the House hurdle, it's going to get over the Senate hurdle. And what it essentially means is then voters in a year and a half, in 2024, you're going to see a question on the ballot, on your ballot when you vote for president in 2024 and vote for the people in the House and Senate again in 2024, not this year, not this coming November, this November, the municipal elections, town and city and borough government. But in 2024, you're going to get a question on the ballot that will say, do you approve of or do you want to give the legislators here in Connecticut the opportunity to amend the state constitution? Now, voters did okay amending the state constitution in 2022 last year for early voting, but that only applies to in-person voting, which is set to take effect next year. So you already answered, if you remember, on your ballot, the question about early voting. Now this essentially, the question will be put to you, do you want no excuse absentee ballots? And that's my question for you as we kick it off here. I've already got some rather colorful and interesting responses to this. On our Facebook page, facebook.com/WICC600, if state lawmakers make the expected legal change, will you decide to vote by mail in future elections, by mail or by absentee ballot? You won't need an excuse. So we're going with no excuse absentee balloting here. Now, are you worried about this, or do you think this is a good thing? Because here's my fear. I'm going to get a little partisan here with you. I'm going to get a little partisan, but not as much as you think. Listen, a lot of states are doing things with voting differently. Like I mentioned, we're only one of four states that doesn't have early voting. So think about that. 92% of the country has early voting. We don't. Now, am I concerned about early voting? I'm all for it if it's a relatively small amount of time. So that doesn't bother me. Something like 35 or 36 states or something like that, about three quarters of the country has some sort of mail-in or no excuse absentee voting. Okay, so again, what I meant a couple of minutes ago, the times are changing, folks. The tide is turning. And I know there are going to be people in the state. Some will be legislators. Some will be everyday people. Some will be people like me. Some will be people who are, you know, active in politics in this state. And there will be some people who just don't want to embrace it. But I got to tell you something, especially if you're on the Republican or the conservative side of the aisle. We're not going back. You know, you can move around and talk with your head in the sand and all this, but, you know, times change. And, yeah, I know a lot of us grew up where you had one day to vote. That was it, right? You voted on election day. There was no such thing as early voting. There was no such thing as no-excuse absentees. There was no such thing as mail-in voting. It was basically two things, if you remember, right? You either went to the polls on Election Day, 6 a.m. to 8 p.m., and then you went home and you put some coffee on the stove, Maud, and you fired up the popcorn and you turned on the wireless and you tried to figure out who won or who wasn't going to win or whatever. Well, that's kind of not the case anymore. Now, it doesn't mean that you have to sit there and say, well, go ahead, do whatever you want. No, what I hope will happen now that we are going essentially into what looks like no-excuse absentee ballots. In other words, you're going to be able to request an absentee ballot for whatever reason. Basically, it's none of the state's business anymore, which I guess is okay. But, you know, let's not, if we're on the Republican side of things, if we're on the conservative side of things in the state, or even if you're a right-leaning centrist, don't start crying and moaning and putting your head in the sand here. I mean, this vote that happened yesterday did get some Republican support. So listen, figure out how to execute it the proper way. And if you're a Republican candidate in this state, if you are a Republican lawmaker, again, come to the realization that times are changing. Voting isn't what it used to be. It's equally, if not more, important. But frankly, as long as the security is there, and that's my big question, more absentee ballots. Hello, Bridgeport. Sorry, am I saying anything that I shouldn't be? Just me. So give me your thoughts, your impressions, your feelings, your fears on this. 203-333-9422. 333-WICC. If state lawmakers make the expected legal change, will you decide to vote by mail in future elections? Or will you decide it's not really by mail technically? It's mail-in, but it's no-excuse absentee balloting. What do you think? I'm fine with that. Listen, times change. Like Mr. Zimmerman / Mr. Dillon said, times are changing. Time to get with it. But, you know, security's an issue. I get that. I understand that. Our buddy, our pal from onlyinbridgeport.com, Lenny Grimaldi's here. Lenny, good afternoon, sir. How are you on this Thursday?
Hey, PP, what's cooking?
Did you watch your old boss last night, Lenny? What'd you think of the CNN town hall?
Well, you know, he's a beauty at giving the answer he wants to give, no matter what question is asked, right? And so, understanding the territory, you know, that was that audience and the narrative was teed up for him, right? He likes that. It's a live audience. It's a friendly crowd. And, you know, Caitlin Collins, I think she's a first-class reporter.
Yeah.
She does her homework. She asks tough questions. But that kind of environment, that venue was perfectly set up for him. And he just kind of like ignores her, right? It's what he does. I'm just going to give the answer I want, and that's all I'm going to do. And he was able to do that. You know? So it's an interesting dynamic going on right now, you know, with Trump, who's going to have a lot more legal problems, probably more charges against him. And how is someone like, you know, Ron DeSantis going to frame a message, you know, against this guy? They're going to have to, Republican establishment's going to have to persuade a number of Republicans that, look, Trump's great in primaries, but he's going to have trouble in the general election no matter what.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, and DeSantis, you know, he's got a great resume and a great, went to school in Connecticut at Yale. I think he needs to start, he's going to have to parry Trump with humor because he comes across so, like, dour. And I think, to me, the way you want to respond to Trump is with humor. You don't look so defensive.
Yeah, yeah.
But if he's going to get into a food fight, you know, with Trump, you better be throwing zucchini and not zucchini flowers, right?
That's right. Hey, a bit closer to home, what's up with the city council and the approved budget here? I see, Lenny, you say there's no tax increase here, which I guess makes people happy.
Well, it is an election year, right?
So. Well.
So the city council on Monday night approved a spending plan of submitted by Mayor Joe Gannon, with not a lot of changes. Probably the biggest change was adding 500, $500,000 more to the Board of Education.
Yeah.
Gannon proposed $2 million more in local spending, and they added $500,000. So the tax rate is going to remain steady as it was last year. Gannon didn't raise taxes last year either. So, you know, now we're starting to get into the gut of a campaign. It's been May. You've got the endorsements for the Democratic endorsement for mayor in a couple of months. So now it's really going to, the campaign itself is starting to gain a higher profile.
And speaking of that campaign, what's up with Marilyn Moore's campaign? Could she be reaching critical mass early right now?
Well, you know, for someone who gave Gannon a scare, you know, 4 years ago in the 2019 Democratic primary, she's running way behind. She's last in money. She's last in, you know, political organization. Now, she does have a state Senate base to bring to the table, but that alone is not going to get it done for her. So she's going to have to find a way to, you know, to find another gear in this race, because she's not resonating the way she did 4 years ago when she was head-to-head against Gannon. You've got two other candidates in this race, John Gomes and Lamon Daniels.
Mm-hmm.
And Gomes worked for Gannon for 7 years, was a friend who's now a foe. And Daniels is kind of the new guy on the block. And a lot of more supporters from 2019 have gravitated to Lamond and Gomes. So they're basically splitting up the anti-vote from 4 years ago.
All right. Speaking of politics, somebody, and I was kind of surprised when I read this, Lenny, on your side and other side, somebody connected to the police formerly wants to get into politics. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, this is a nice little wrinkle. You know, I like these kinds of stories. Former police chief Rebecca Garcia, who Gannon promoted to acting chief after the A.J. Perez fiasco, and appointed her the first Latina top cop in the city's history. Gannon decided once during the national search that he wanted the current chief that he selected, Roderick Porter, over her. He had a chance to work with her for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And she was not a chief that reached out to the community very much, which is Porter is doing right now. So he chose Porter over her. She decided to resign. She's got a nice pension. She's got time in her hands. So she's decided, at least she's talking to political insiders, that she wants to run for a city council seat in the north end of Bridgeport. You know, funny thing about it was when she retired, she announced that you know, she wasn't chosen because of politics.
Mm-hmm.
Now she decided to get in the game.
Now, what about the logistics of that seat or seats? Or which one is she eyeing specifically, Lenny, and who's in there right now that she would be supplanting?
So there's a couple of, speaking of the North End, 130, 3rd District. Jeanette Herron is one of the longtime incumbents up there.
Oh, sure. Yep.
So she most likely, you know, she would have to run probably on someone else's line, right? Like a John Gomes' line or a Lamon Daniels' line or Marilyn Moore, if, you know, they qualify for the ballot. It's not easy to qualify for the ballot because you got to go out and hustle. You know, if Gannon's endorsed, he's automatically on the line. But, and he's the favorite for the endorsement. You have to go out and hustle more than 2,000 signatures to petition your way onto a primary ballot. So she would likely end up on one of the other lines. Which one is that going to be? Who knows? But, you know, she sounds like, you know, she's got a great profile. She's got name recognition. So, hey, good for her for trying to get in the game.
Yeah, I agree. The more the merrier. A few more minutes with Lenny Grimaldi, only in Bridgeport.com. Then we'll go back to open phones after that. Lenny, you are sounding the alarm, as a few other people are here, about a prospective parking crunch over the next couple of days. Why that?
So, you know, Bridgeport's become a real emerging entertainment mecca in the state. And Friday night, tomorrow night, you've got Kevin Hart at the Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, at the adjacent venue, the Total Mortgage Arena, you got Fantasia.
Yeah.
So you're going to have a surge of people coming to downtown Bridgeport. So courtesy of the mayor's office, I've loaded a number of links and a lot of information of where people can park if you're going to the event, you know, Friday night. But not only that, you have three college graduations this weekend at the same venues for Sacred Heart and Western Connecticut State University. So you're going to have, you know, tomorrow night you'll have you know, the heart event is just about sold out. There's still tickets for Fantasia,
wow.
but you're going to have more than 10,000 people, in downtown Bridgeport tomorrow, and as well as over the weekend with the college graduations. It's a good problem to have.
No, it is, and lots of police overtime, Lenny. Huh? I'm guessing the boys and girls in blue are going to like that as well, huh?
Oh yeah, ka-ching for that. You know, and good for them. They can. You know, they put the time and earn it. That's good.
Yeah, listen, I might throw on a uniform, say, okay, sir, over there, go that way. Everybody move. I can do that. I can wave one of those sticks. I can do that. Well, I may have to do that, Lenny. Yeah.
Patrolman Pacelli.
Imagine that. Lenny Grimaldi is the... Yeah? Well, that's kind of official, right? only in Bridgeport.com is the website. Lenny, thanks. Be good, and we'll talk next week.
Talk to you next week. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks, Lenny. Yeah, a lot of premium parking. Parking will be at a premium.